All right, this is Matthew, and it's week two of our Christian Disciplines class. Thanks for joining me. I hope that your week has gone well and that you have benefited from your study already. First thing I want to talk to you about is what you did last week. Your assignment last week was to talk to someone whose faith you respect and that you could learn from and see what makes them tick. I really enjoyed my time talking to a mentor of mine. He told me about how he gets up early in the morning to read scripture, how he keeps a prayer list, how he goes for a jog in the morning. And we talked for a little bit about different ways that he can remind himself during the day to pray. We talked about when you see an ambulance, thinking about the person in it and the doctors and the families and everyone involved and for your own safety. And he suggested as a tool for growing in faith, looking for things that you can use to remind you. And that's a good godly tool, I think. I hope you benefited from what you learned, and I'd hope that you'll share it with me and let me know so that I can learn from your mentors. This week, I want to talk to you about relationships. Relationships are very important, aren't they? Well, yeah. The main lesson tonight that I want you to think about is this fact. Our relationships with others affect our relationship with God. That's a true principle, and I want you to think about why that's true. Take a minute and see if you can think of some scriptures that either agree or disagree with that point. No, seriously, I want you to write some down. What does scripture say about our relationships affect on our relationship with God? You can pause the video and come back when you're done. I want to compare your notes to my notes and see what we come up with. But before we do that, I want to talk about God as a God of relationship. You know, a lot of times people argue about what God's most distinctive or highest or most important feature is. Some folks say holiness. Some folks say love. God is love, 1 John 4. Certainly those things are true. I don't know that you can answer that question. It's not really fair, is it, to try to pigeonhole Almighty God in one word? But some folks say that he's a God of relationship. Why have a Trinity? A Father and a Son and a Spirit who model relationship. Genesis 1, let us create man in our image, plural. John 1, nothing was created without Jesus. God models relationship. Well, maybe the next question then is, why even have creation? Certainly God was self-sufficient. He doesn't need us, unless maybe he does, because he's a relational God, and he wants someone to love and to love him. Even though that opens him up to so much pain, it opens him up to opportunity too. Why would he want us to be with him in heaven? Is he bored? Lonely? Got nothing better to do? No. It's because of love. John 17, Jesus says that he and the Father are one. And that's how he wants us to be, his church. And I think that's how he wants us to be with him. Well, what are the solid building blocks for relationships? Well, trust and love and things like that. And sometimes that's why we have trouble with relationships, because we don't learn to trust each other. The tools, the Christian disciplines I want us to think about this week start with confession. Sometimes we feel this way about confession. We don't want to confess because we want the other person to confess first, because we're afraid that they'll get leverage on us or they can use it against us. I've got a video linked to about a bad youth minister who does just that. Well, the Bible says a lot about confession, about forgiveness, and about repentance. The story of the unforgiving servant is about someone who didn't forgive, and his relationship with others affected negatively his relationship with the master. The tax collector and the Pharisee, one was concerned with his relationship with others, you know, as in being better than others, and the other was concerned with his relationship with God. So it's sort of the opposite side of that coin. Matthew chapter 5, verse 23 says, if you've got a problem with a brother, drop it before you continue to bring your gift to the altar. Make sure that you look up 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, because it has a really haunting phrase in it. Men, take care of your wives, lest your prayers be hindered. If you have a problem in your prayer life, go back to this verse. Maybe this is telling you something about what's going on. Maybe there's a hindrance. We hide thoughts of God in our hearts, and we can't hide sin. You remember the passage in Numbers, be sure your sin will find you out. 1 John reiterates that thought. He says, don't pretend like you don't have sin. In Ezra and in Daniel, the people freely admit their sins. Same in Acts 19. And James chapter 5, 16 says that we need to confess our sins one to another. And with prayer, that's where we will find forgiveness. So this isn't something that the Bible treats as optional. It's not something that the Bible treats as a good idea. It says this is what you need to do. Now, the problem I think we have in the church today about relationships is the fact that we don't ever make them deep. How many times do you say, "How you doing? Fine. How you doing? Fine. How you doing? Fine. How you doing? Fine." And by about the sixth time you said it to the same person and greeting them, you both realize that you're just asking each other the same question, expecting to say fine. How you doing? Fine is not a greeting. I encourage you to ask it as a question. How are you doing? Ask someone how their soul is. Don't be afraid. Ask someone you know. You know, are things going okay? How is God working in your life? These are important questions. It's what the family does to stir each other up to love and to good works. We've got to try this sort of thing. We've got to work on each other, and we've got to move past surface conversation and talking about the Titans. You know, sometimes when we confess, we try to fill out a formal apology notice. You know, we say, "To you, from me. It's come to my attention that my action of mean could be seen as offensive. I didn't mean it. I want you to understand I was just excuse. Even though now I can see that it sounds like I had a perceived motive. Please accept my heartfelt apology. I won't do it again." And let's see. Here's how sincere I am about this. Yeah, this is a mostly heartfelt but a little bit begrudging apology. And I feel guilty. Sometimes we just try to check off forgiveness and confession and telling people what's really going on. Sometimes we find it easier to talk to our friends at work that don't share our faith because we're less afraid that they'll judge us. And brothers and sisters, that's so wrong. Wrong that we have brothers and sisters that would judge us, but wrong that we've believed that lie of the devil. We don't have to manage other people's feelings about us in the church, and we shouldn't put up with that. My challenge for you this week is that when we try to do these things, when we try to grow, that you will make an effort. I want you in the next 24 to 48 hours, 24 preferably, to intentionally work on a relationship. Now, I don't want you to do something after the fact. Say, "That was good to work on a relationship." I want you in the church foyer to sit in the back of your mind and say, "I'm going to do this to build a relationship. I'm going to ask you, how was your week, really?" Or I'm going to confess something. "You know, I've really struggled with this." Or I want you to apologize to someone that you need to apologize to. "I offended you, and it was my fault. I was being hot-headed." I want you to do that. And I'm not going to ask you to share exactly what you said or exactly what you did with me next week, unless you want to. But I hope that you will think about that, because the way that we act toward others reflects how we feel about God. And it affects how we feel about God, and vice versa. Some folks are Christians in church, but nowhere else, and I'm afraid that doesn't count for much. So this week, I want you to work on the spiritual discipline of relationships. Next week, we'll talk about prayer. Thanks, and have a great week.